Well, you may have read or heard this morning that the Yorkshire Dales, along with the North York Moors, have been granted dark sky reserve status. Now, this sounds very exciting, but you may not understand exactly what it means. So, on the phone, we've got astronomer. It's Richard Darn. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a bit of a mouthful, so let's try and pick it apart. Firstly, what is a dark skies status, a reserve status?
Well, if you've got very dark skies, you can apply to an international body called the International Dark Sky Association. Sounds a bit like the X-Men, doesn't it? And they're the worldwide guardians of dark places, if you like. So a global organisation, been going for a long time. And if you are prepared to put the work into it and do an application, you've got dark skies, you can apply to them. And essentially, it's like becoming a national park of the sky.
Right. So let me ask you, why is it important to have a dark sky? I mean, well, does it make any difference to anyone?
Yeah, there are loads of reasons. I'm an astronomer, so I'm a geek. That's fine. So I like seeing the Milky Way and the Northern Lights and 2,000 stars rather than 10. So to me, that's all part of living in the Dales. It's what's fantastic about it. But it's also important for wildlife. Nocturnal wildlife needs dark skies. And if you don't, you start throwing lots of light into dark skies or anywhere, you will discourage wildlife, bats, owls, birds, the lot. So we know it's very negative for them. Plus the fact, some of the light we use at the moment, the very white LED light, we know is not good for human beings. It doesn't help them get to sleep and it doesn't help them recover from illness. So there are lots of good reasons why human beings, like nocturnal wildlife, need to be in the dark or as dark as possible at night. And that's what this designation will help achieve. It doesn't mean we're going to turn lights off. It means we need to encourage lighting that's fit for purpose, that's well shielded, shines down. The Dales is already a very dark place, and it's keeping it dark that's the real thing. And it's such a massive draw for people from all over the UK who just simply don't have access to a starry night.
That's a fantastic thought, isn't it? You touched at the beginning there on the fact that you're an astronomer. What difference does it really make to you?
Well, it's just massive. I mean, you know, I'm Yorkshire born and bred, but unfortunately I hail from the industrial part, not the rural part. And so that's why I have to put a telescope in the back of the car and go to places like Keld, for instance, or West Burton or Aysgarth or somewhere like that. And I do that because there's no substitute for a dark sky. I can see 50 stars from where I live. And if you go into cities like Leeds or Bradford or Sheffield, you're down to about 15 to 20 bright stars. A lot of kids growing up in those areas don't even realise there are stars overhead. When you come to the Dales on a clear night, it is breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. And I never fail to be moved by the sight of it. And seeing the Milky Way break through clouds at Keld last year when I did a star party was just a memory I'll stick with me forever. And that's why it's important. It energises people. It's part of the Dale story. It's not just about the landscape, as beautiful as that is. The same with the moors. It's about what's over your head. It's all part of the Dales or the Moors experience. And that's why today's news is so important, because it'll both help us protect those stars and promote them to people.
Now, I believe it's taken quite some time to get to the status. What kind of work had to go in to making the Yorkshire Dales a dark skies reserve?
Yeah, this is not something you can do quickly, all right? It takes time. So amongst the time, the very time-consuming things, we have to have a team of volunteers that go out with special meters at night, and they take measurements how dark the sky is. So now we know for the first time, we've got a really detailed picture of how dark the Dales is and the Moors. And these volunteers went out over 2 years, you know, knowing our weather, how poor it is. Very difficult to get that data in 1 year. So that takes a couple of years. There's been an audit of external lighting across the Dales. That takes time. There's a lighting management plan being drawn up, which will inform the planners. So people apply for planning permission. Now we've got a good idea about the dark sky friendly lighting that we need to encourage. So that's important, but that takes time. So all in all, those 5 years have been spent doing those things, consulting with the public, taking stargazing out as part of the very, very successful festival that we do with the Moors, UK's biggest festival. That's what it is now, an amazing celebration of the night sky. All these things take time. And of course, we've incorporated all this achievement into an application. And so for the past 3-4 weeks, we've all been waiting really nervously to see what will happen, whether we actually get the adjudication. And when it came through, I mean, it was just an epiphany. It was just such a fantastic moment hearing that, you know, we'd actually done something practical to protect these skies for future generations.
I'm interested in, I guess there was a cost involved in changing lighting to reduce that pollution that comes from lighting. And you mentioned also there's a change of hue within the light as well.
we've never been in a time like we are at the moment. So people think about bulbs they use in the house. It's very difficult to buy an old-fashioned bulb. So we've all swapped to LED technology. But LED technology is fine. It means lights can be run cheaply over a much longer period. They can last up to 20 years. Unfortunately, the kind of LED lights that we use increasingly externally are the floodlights, and they are the worst possible thing we could put into the environment. So what we had to do as part of the application was do two or three demonstration projects where we showed the International Dark Sky Association we were serious. And so those were done in both parks, and they achieved tremendous results. We took before and after pictures. The lighting was even safer afterwards. It was more convenient for the users, but it didn't shine up, and it was also a different colour. So instead of that searing white colour that you see in floodlights or in car headlights even, it was a much warmer colour, a colour you could actually live with much easier. It didn't blind you every time you looked at it. So there are some really good safety reasons for actually getting more sensible with lighting. So these projects, we hope, are just the first of more. And so the National Park, the Dales National Park, have got a small grant scheme as well. They're gonna roll out a little bit more, so to encourage people to swap. And the Moors have got a similar sort of scheme operating there. It is going to be a lot about education. It's about asking people to make the right choices. And to that extent, the National Park has got a very good light pollution webpage now online. So if you want to go in there and look for advice, well, we've distilled it all down into some golden rules about do's and don'ts if you want to participate in saving the skies and keeping it good for wildlife as well.
So there's still more work to be done, and people can play their own part, can they? They've got lighting, say, in their garden. By changing the light fixture, I presume you can, A, focus the light downwards, and B, get the right kind of light.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So the first thing to do, even if you weren't going to swap a light out, if you've got an angled floodlight that's shining, say, at 45 degrees or something, a significant portion of that light goes straight up. On a misty night, you can see it. It's just, unfortunately, this is all people have been able to buy, but it's really, really polluting to the environment. And obviously, for stargazing, it's just terrible. Point it down. Flatten it out so it shines down, not up. Don't leave it on all night. Put it on a sensor. The moment you do that, you contribute to keeping the Dales a darker place at night, a darker place for wildlife and for people, so you can see the stars and you still have convenience. Ideally, in the long run, what we'd like to do is encourage people to use warmer colours, so not the harsh white, because we know that is really, really bad for wildlife and bad for stargazing, but use warmer colours. Oddly enough, amber is a very, very dark sky friendly colour, and obviously the amber lights we've got rid of to some extent, but they actually, if they were properly shielded, would probably be ideal. So everybody has a part to play, I think. And again, there are safety concerns, people on farmers and stuff like that, or haulage yards or lumber yards. So all these things need to be taken into account. People definitely do need light. But there's ways of doing this smartly where we can all benefit and it ticks every boxes, and we keep the stars nice and starry as we all want them.
Well, Richard, you were part of the application, so I guess I'm going to wish you congratulations this morning. What a great achievement. And I presume the next time you go out with your telescope looking up, you're just going to be able to savour the moment more, aren't you?
Yeah, well, that's right. We should point out, we did this together with the Moors and the Dales because we thought we need to think in big terms here. And so collectively, and now 3,600 square kilometres of land has come under this kind of protection. And that's much the biggest sort of single sort of contribution to dark sky conservation ever made in the UK. It's a real big day, and I should also add that the Dales itself becomes the biggest dark sky reserve in the UK on its own. So it just proves what can be done if people work hard and have got a good objective in mind. But we would ask the public to try and help, and they can do that by tonight by just dipping their lights down.
And you can find out more information by heading across to the National Park website as well, as you already mentioned.
Sure can.
Richard, thanks very much. Good to speak to you.
Thank you.